Hello, everybody, and welcome to another edition of the Bengal Tiger Podcast. I'm Matthew Bruni, and joining me once again is Shay Dixon. Shay, we woke up this morning, got to LSU around 8 o'clock in the morning, and watched the first 20 minutes of the second spring practice, and then Brian Kelly talked. So we'll recap all that, give our thoughts on everything that we saw, we heard, and everything. But yeah, how are you doing today?
I'm doing what woke up bright and early. Now I've been up for, gosh, we're recording this before lunch. I've been up, it seems, all day. I put in a full day getting up there at 7-something in the morning to watch practice. But yes, this was their second of 15 spring practices. They'll practice Friday. We won't get to see that one. Then they'll go on spring break. Then they come back. So the next practice we'll see is really towards the end of March, March 20-something. So we'll have another podcast next week. But this will be our initial reactions. Not a long podcast, but at least some thoughts from what we saw in the 20 minutes of, and again, the 20 minutes are individual periods. They're not doing 11 on 11. They're not doing anything like that. So I did, however, on the Bengal Tiger, which if you're not a member yet, I don't want to say shame on you, but it's only $1 and it'll carry you through all of spring ball and some massive recruiting weekends, including this one coming up where they have a ton of 5-stars coming in. They had guys there watching practice today. So, I posted a depth chart, gave a little too deep feel. We got to at least see the order that some of the positions were going through, but I don't know where you want to start, Matty B. Offense, defense. We'll give some player thoughts and all that, and then we can move into what Kelly talked about.
Yeah, and then I wrote up practice notes. And it was basically I just went position by position just on what we saw. You know, if there's 10 positions and we had 20 minutes, you can do the math. I saw maybe a couple minutes on each one. I think just newcomers that we saw that at least got eyes on, you know, maybe watch them do some drill work. AJ Swan, quarterback, was out there. Colin Hurley, quarterback, was out there. Joe Sloan is a very hands-on guy, so getting to see him work with them. I mean, AJ Swan physically, I mean, looks like a guy that we know has played in the SEC, and then the delivery is smooth. So checked off boxes there, him and Hurley, you know, nice additions to the room. And then you go down, and I think you just go to receiver from there. CJ Daniels and Xavier Thomas, two guys who, you know, we get to see in person for the first time. I think they fit right in to the drills. They didn't look out of place at all. These are guys that are experienced and that are going to come in and help this team right away. So good to see. Those are the newcomers on offense. And then you saw some more offensive line than I did, if you want to talk about any of the freshmen.
I thought Ethan Callaway was moving guys around during combo drills. He looked really good, and we ranked him as one of the top offensive tackles in America on Thursday. He was working at right guard, so they can kind of move him around. They've recruited a ton of tackles that you can kick inside and still have some extra athleticism. But for an early enrollee that should technically still be in high school, I thought he looked good in pads. And like I said, he had some nice burst off the line. So my initial reaction of watching all of them was, man, he looks good. But look, Paul Mbenga, who took a red shirt last year and didn't play in a single game, one of the only guys who didn't, he was a backup left guard. They had Cohen Eccles, their early enrollee that they flipped from A&M, working as a backup center to DJ Chester. I imagine that Brad Davis will try a lot of guys out as a backup center just to see what he's got behind DJ Chester. But the offensive line, when you've got Will Campbell and Emory Jones at the tackle spots, Dellinger and Miles Frazier at the guard spots, and then DJ Chester, who we knew from a year ago would be the starting center, Nussmeier at quarterback, Caleb Jackson was the first team running back. And then you mentioned those receivers, and I think we'll see them all kind of get a crack at some playing time. But Brian Kelly did say, look, we brought in Xavier Thomas and CJ Daniels from Liberty, Thomas from Mississippi State, to join Lacey because they're guys who have multiple years of experience. They know what to expect. And in a way, it buys them time to get the younger guys all up to speed and let them continue their development. He talked about Shelton Sampson and said this offseason's about Shelton getting stronger off the line, not getting rerouted. And he says he has a very high confidence that he can master that this offseason, and that'll put him in a much better position to see playing time. So I think what we're seeing early on, Matty B, and look, Kyle Parker got some first team run in there. Chris Hilton was getting first team run. Aaron Anderson's someone that there's been buzz around. So it's a deep receiver room. I just think that we know that And I'll include, well, it is included, Xavion, CJ, and Kyron Lacy. And yes, Hilton's played some, but he's always been hurt. Those guys have all been on the field for multiple years and at multiple schools now, all three of them. Kyron Lacy came from ULL. So they know what to expect. They've been in different locker rooms. And it really does allow you to say, okay, we know what we have in these three. They'll be up to speed. Let's get Hilton up to speed. Let's get Aaron Anderson in the mix. And then let's see what we've got out of Kyle Parker and Shelton Sampson and others. So you do lose 2,000. Look, put it even more simply, you lose the NCAA's leader in receiving yards, and you lose the NCAA's leader in receiving touchdowns in Brian Thomas and Malik. And Malik obviously leaves as LSU's all-time leader in receptions and receiving yards. So you're not going to have that type of production, probably not again. And you've got maybe the number two pick in Jaden Daniels in the draft, who won't be here anymore. So not that Nussmeier can't sling it. Not that I don't think, and I've talked about this before, if they're not the number one offense, if they stay in the top 20, that's a great accomplishment and something that will go a long way towards wins. But I'm excited to watch receivers, Maddie B, because I think that it's like, it feels like a fresh crop. We knew last year after like two games that Brian and Malik were literally going to do everything. And if it wasn't them, they'd go to Lacy. And if you didn't have one of them available, like the end of the year, you go to Hilton. There wasn't much room for surprise. Like, we never saw Anderson really getting involved. We never saw those newcomers. All the freshmen took red shirts. Like, now's a chance where I think that there'll be a little bit more kind of flux to the room in terms of guys rotating in and out, or just moving up and down the depth chart between spring ball and summer workouts and fall camp.
Yeah. We can stay on the offense and kind of do this in terms of also what Brian Kelly said. And I think a talking point for this entire offseason, and now that we're in the spring here, is the run game. And he did a good job laying it out, talking about how they want to utilize the run game, even with Nussmeier at quarterback, and kind of how they want to play off of it. And I think my main takeaway from that was he put it a lot more on, you know, we said, all right, it's going to be a lot more on the running backs, you know, Caleb Jackson, Josh Williams and whatnot. The way he phrased it is it's going to be a lot more on the offensive line. Like, this is now going to be an offensive line driven run game. And that is what's different as opposed to last year, where you had Jaden Daniels kind of making something out of nothing and kind of creating yards with his legs. Now it's going to be more generated from the offensive line. And that's, I think, where this offensive line can get better. I think pass protection wise, you don't get a much better offensive line than this in the country. Will Campbell, Emory Jones, Dellinger, Frazier. Now, I think the step forward for them this year, and it also is in addition to having DJ Chester at center, is I think the run game is where this offensive line takes a step forward. And Brian Kelly basically said that is like, that's what we're going to have to do with pullers and, you know, different zone schemes and whatnot. That's going to be the interesting thing to me to watch this spring is, all right, how are y'all running the ball with Caleb Jackson and Josh Williams? Because they're the only two backs they have. Then you have, they had four other walk-ons flanking them, but I think that was a good answer. I don't remember, you mentioned Sampson. He talked about Sampson a bit. I don't remember who else he talked about on offense, but yeah, that was a big takeaway of mine.
Yeah, he said all that about the O-line, and you mentioned it, just different, whether it is pulling or doing different things, a more diversified run game. Yeah. That is really driven by what the O-line's doing. And look, Mike Denbrock spent 2 years here, was a great play caller. And I'd say for more than half of his time, people wanted more from the run game. You can remember his first year, they went that first couple of months and they couldn't even run the football. And it was like, they run like two plays. And then he diversified it a bit. They started to get more production out of their running backs that weren't just Jaden. Now we're in a situation where I think we really start to see Brad Davis work with that O-line group and Joe Sloan, Frank Wilson, the running backs coach, as to what this run game will look like without Jaden Daniels. And I'm with you. I feel great about it. Why? Because everything always starts up front, and they returned four starters who are four of the best O-linemen in the SEC at their positions and maybe in the country. So when you've got that foundation and a DJ Chester who you trust at center, and you've kind of groomed him for this spot, he knew it would be his, he had a year to get ready, now he's going to get all the first team reps. Like, I feel very good about that. And Yes, they only have two scholarship running backs available, but Josh Williams is a vet, a three-down back. Caleb Jackson is explosive, and he talked about, Kelly said, using Caleb Jackson and really kind of to his strengths of what those are. Trey Holly's not with the team right now. We'll figure out kind of how things go there with his off-the-field arrest, and then he obviously got out on bail, but until he gets that figured out, his legal situation, he will not be part of any team activities. And then Caden Durham, Mr. Speedster, tearing apart Texas right now, doesn't get here tearing apart Texas track and field, I should say. And he also tore apart Texas football for Duncanville. Yeah. He doesn't get here till the summer. So spring is kind of, you just hope Josh Williams and Caleb Jackson can stay healthy because they can give you good looks. And I talked about this in the preview pod. It's really good news for Josh Williams. Doesn't need reps. He's a fifth year. I mean, he's done it all. Caleb Jackson's a guy who can really benefit from first team reps and getting a feel for what they want from him.
Yeah. Real quick, I think Mason Taylor, I didn't get to see a ton of him. Maybe you saw more, but I think just in general, his fluidity is back to where I think he wants it to be, where it should be. Mac Markway also getting a lot of snaps, and then Tyree Adams and Bo Bordelon at the tackle positions. That's good depth there. I mean, even you lose Lance Hurd, and you know, I think a lot more pressure's on Adams and Bordelon to be ready like right away, obviously. And I think I just trust them, especially Adams, to be ready.
Yeah, that was a good thing last year. No one ever got hurt. Emory Jones got banged up one game, but he sat by choice at Army and just to get ready for Bam in the bye week to get some extra rest. So yes, good to build depth, and they certainly benefited a year ago from never having to test it out because nobody on the offensive line ever got hurt, which almost never happens. So let's see how that group unfolds moving forward the rest of spring. Wrapping up offense, Kelly did say, he was asked point blank, why did you hire Joe Sloan? And he said, look, I've been around him now 2 years. I see what he understands from a quarterback coaching perspective to an offensive philosophy perspective. It aligns with what Kelly wants out of an offense. And he said he's got full support from Hankton, Frank Wilson, you know, Brad Davis. They bring in Slade Nagel, who has called plays before at Tulane and has a lot of experience. So Kelly just said it was the right time to give Sloan this opportunity, and he feels very good about it based off of what he's been around Sloan and seen from Sloan the past 2 years. So offense to me, I don't know, and maybe we're oversimplifying it, but it seems like it's just not going to just keep rolling and they'll be number one again, but I'm not worried about the offense. Like, I think that they'll be good there.
Yeah. I'm very comfortable with the offense. Now I will say, Kaborian Pimpton, I did not get eyes on him. I didn't get eyes on many of the tight ends today. I don't know if you did, but Pimpton will be one we'll continue to track because he's probably the most, or one of the most talked about in terms of fan engagement and wanting to see him more. So,
Penny's just been here a year. So, and we knew Markway, who's also been here a year, was more of a blocker. He knew his role, and kudos to him for getting in and carving it out. I think we'll see some Pimpton this spring. We'll get to see some catches and see kind of where he fits into the offense.
Yeah. All right. Defense. This is a lot more of a question mark as always we talk about. I think for me, when we watched it, the cornerback room was real interesting, and I'll let you expand on that a little bit. But for me, because you have more experience, obviously, seeing Corey Raymond and knowing him and whatnot, for me, Corey Raymond, watching his drill work and his technique work, I feel really good about him as the secondary's coach. And then getting to see a little bit of Harold Perkins as well, which we can expand on. But what did you think of the cornerback room?
Yeah, it was like a flashback. Like, some things never changed. Seeing Corey back out there with this, he's got the snap-on glasses, you know, that you wear around, and then they just snap in the middle, and he wears them all the way at the end of his nose, and it's just the Corey Raymond look. And there he was again, coaching up the DBs. And he is a secondaries coach, but they've got Jake Olson working with safeties in practice. And we saw Corey out there at the corners, and Jacoby Stevens, a former LSU DB who obviously played a number of years at LSU. His NFL career is done. He's been back at LSU working as an assistant. He had Ashton Stamps and Javian Toviano, the two corners who were freshmen a year ago that played a ton, off to the side. And then Corey had the two Ohio State kids, J.K. Johnson and Jair Brown. J.K. came in a year ago from Ohio State, but got injured in fall camp and was out the whole year. Jair ends up transferring in this offseason. So Corey had those two kind of working one-on-one just on technique, release, turn and run, all those sorts of things. And Jacoby was doing the exact same, but with Sampson Toviano. So PJ Woodland, I thought, looked like he'd already put on a little bit of weight. That was going to be a question mark for him in terms of maybe being able to play early. He was working with Jeremiah Hughes, but I get the feeling right now, Matty B, that going into camp, your top four corners, whether you agree that Toviano should be a safety or a corner, and their top four corners right now appear to be the two Ohio State kids and then your two freshmen from a year ago that you threw out there at corner in Stamps and Toviano. And I don't know which one. Zy Alexander was there. He's not dressed, but he was in his on the sideline, just in a jersey watching. If he's healthy, and Brian Kelly said he would be by the summer, if he's a go for fall camp, which would be incredible because he tore up his knee midseason, but if he can get back, does he start? Like, I can't tell you who starts at corner right now, and I don't think we'll know that answer until fall camp.
Yeah, exactly.
And I don't think they want to know that. Yes, you maybe Corey will know in his head, but they want those four guys to compete. Like, hey, this thing's wide open, and I think it is because you want those four guys all to be chasing each other to get better. So you're in a spot where all four can play next year.
Yeah, and Toviano's position was something that a lot of fans had wondered about, and I think at least to start, Raymond's going to see him at corner first. That's probably where he has the most film on him as well.
And let's just pretend that they do prefer Toviano at safety or nickel. Well, if Zy Alexander were out there and he was a starter for you again, maybe he wouldn't be there because then you'd have four or five guys. If PJ Woodland was someone you knew for a fact was going to play early and he looked so far along, then Toviano maybe wouldn't be there. But to start out spring ball, I'm not surprised at all that they're putting him back in the position he worked at all of his freshman season.
Yeah, because it's a great point because there's a chance going into fall camp, Toviano could be your best corner. Like there's a chance that maybe, you know, Brown, I mean, all those four guys, any one of them could be corner one. And then you throw Zy in there. Like, we don't know. So why not see if Toviano can maybe reach his ceiling or reach his potential at cornerback first? I think nickel would come naturally to him, honestly. Like, I don't think he needs like, wow, we need to put him at nickel so he gets all the reps here. I think Sage is, first of all, the starting nickel at this point.
So people might be wondering, well, y'all didn't mention Sage. He started at corner a lot last year. He was with the nickels today. He was with the safeties, but then worked with the nickels.
Yeah.
You cool with Sage at nickel? That's kind of what we projected, was that Sage would start at nickel.
Yeah, and I mean, last time, I think last podcast, I was it him where I was like, or no, it was Major Burns where I was like, you know, we got to see it from him. We got to see it. Sage is in that boat too, but I think you put Burns and Sage in those positions and say, all right, show us what you got right here in spring and fall. Like, you are the incumbents pretty much. You're the guys that we trust here with experience to start here. Now, are you going to end the season? There is the question. That's up to you. But Sage starting at nickel, like you said, working with the safeties. I didn't get to see the safeties a ton here, but
yeah, it was Jordan Gilbert and Major Burns. And that's Jordan Gilbert, you former U High star out of Baton Rouge, went to A&M, played a couple years. Now he's back home and major. So no shock at all that your two oldest guys who have played a lot of SEC football are the first guys you're putting out there, and you're letting the guys behind them, Kylan Jackson, Jordan Allen, others, kind of see what they do and then, you know, mimic it, bring them along. But as you work through an opening stretch of spring, you're not, Major Burns ain't going to run second team. Jordan Gilbert ain't running second team. Like, these guys are vets. They'll be the first team guys. And we'll see how it unfolds into the spring. But I had my depth chart, and I have both those guys as first team.
Yeah. March 23rd, we get to see the entire practice. So that's where I will say,
we only saw 20 minutes. So, look, they have a lot of safeties. Langwall, those guys, we'll see if he's healthy. But you love Jordan Allen, and you love Kylan Jackson. And those are two guys I have kind of pinned in there as potential second teamers. Ryan Yates is still in the mix, obviously. Joel Rogers, an early enrollee signee. He was doing a little backup nickel, but it'll be interesting to see. If, like, Jordan Allen and Kylan, if one of those or two can make a huge leap, and Ryan Yates, one of them, can make a big jump, they'll have a little bit more depth. Because remember, a year ago, Andre Sam and Major Burns played literally every single snap at safety. Yeah. And if anyone ever came in, it was Yates. And then by season end, it was Kylan, and it was a little bit of Jordan Allen. So did those guys kind of take that next step to where they earn a little bit more playing time?
Yeah. At linebacker, I got to see a little bit. Harold Perkins out there looking spry, athletic. We know what he is. The Weeks brothers were out there. Brathwaite was there, just to name a few. And then Brian Kelly was asked. Yeah, all of them. Brian Kelly was asked about Perkins afterwards, and he basically gave the same answer that we've kind of speculated for, you know, the past 3 weeks since it was, you know, kind of broken through the Advocate that he was going to be playing inside. It's what we expected. I think this is what Harold Perkins wants at this point, or I think this is, and then Blake Baker is definitely in on it, and Brian Kelly, they're all in unison in this, and they understand what they need to do. So it's a different scheme. It's a different coach. A lot of things have changed. Like I said before, it's up to Harold Perkins right now. And Brian Kelly mentioned this too. This is the urgency is up. This is your money year. You have to show that you are able to pick things up in the run game, the pass game, and be more than just kind of an attacker that teams can scheme ahead.
Yeah, that's what he said. He said, look, I mean, even if it's a Sam linebacker role or if it's an edge rusher, that people will say, oh, we'll just stick him at edge rusher or just make him a QB spy. And Kelly said essentially with him playing Will linebacker now, that weak side, that in his mind, and he did, as you mentioned, he said straight up when asked about Harold Perkins playing that position, he said, me, Harold, and Blake Baker sat down and talked about this, and all of us are on the same page that this needs to be his path. But he added that he thinks in Baker's system and maybe just overall that it's going to be, and he kind of indicated that a lot of teams when it was Perkins spying or Perkins just as an edge rusher saw enough tape to say, okay, well, we can just scheme him out of this play. We can just scheme him out of the game essentially at times. And there were games last year, Matty B, where at the end of the year, you look up and the stats from freshman year to sophomore year are pretty similar, but it didn't feel like the same impact. You're like, gosh, Harold would make a tackle in the third quarter and you'd be like, I forgot he was even out there. And that's an issue, right? So I think Kelly felt like he was getting schemed out of games by offenses a year ago, and that this will give them a chance. I don't know if you agree or disagree, but to where they can do so many different things with him from that spot that it's not so easy for offenses to just say, we know what he's doing on this play. Let's go away from him or scheme him out of it.
Yeah. And my thoughts are, you know, cataloged in our podcast history in the past month or two. But essentially, I agree. I think this is the right play. I think him at Will linebacker, he has the potential to be very good. Like I've said before, Tyron Hopper last year at Missouri was very good, all SEC linebacker the last 2 years, pretty much. I think Harold Perkins can have that type of impact. He can have a DeMont Clark type season. And that would be huge for this defense. If they are able to unlock that side of Harold Perkins, I think the defense has no choice but to take a step forward. Like, it, no matter what else is going on around him, if you get Harold Perkins to put up an incredible amount of tackles and 15 TFLs with 8 sacks and something like that, like, the defense is just going to be more dynamic. So I'm excited to see it. He looked good out there on the first, you know, on the second day of practice, spry. We'll get to see more of Blake Baker as we, you know, continue to see spring camp unfold. I don't have anything else on the linebackers. I didn't get to see the freshmen really too much. Key, Singleton, Cobbins.
Yeah, I mean, we were so limited in what we saw today, but we know what the pecking order is going to be: Greg Penn, Harold Perkins, and the Weeks brothers. So. Yeah. That's your first four.
Exactly. Defensive line, I will say the only ones that I feel good at talking about that I got a decent look at were Jackson Howard and Dylan Carpenter. They both look the part, which is out of high school, they looked the part. So we knew that. But Howard is someone I think a lot of people have talked about him having a kind of breakout sophomore year, having a more impactful year. And I can see that. I think Jackson Howard is, like, him and Braden Swinson at that edge position, or the second edge position, I think that's a really formidable 1-2.
I like their 1-2 punch here more than I did a year ago with Ovi and Swinson, because I thought at times Swinson outplayed Ovi as his backup. Yeah. Now you've got Swinson starting and a guy like Jackson Howard, who they raved about, Kelly and players, in bowl prep when he got a lot more run. And they're like, man, this guy's great. His dad was an NFL D lineman. He was a high draft pick. So the bloodlines are there. The size is there. He played offense and defense in high school. Now he's settled in, as you said, as that edge, stand-up rusher, whatever, however you want to describe it. And you've got Dylan Carpenter out of Santa Ma in that mix as well. I think it'll be – I'm right there with you on – we've talked a ton about it, Swinson, and we like him. Then you look at the end spot with hand in the dirt, and you've got Savion Jones. You've got Paris Shand, who a lot of people like. Then you've got Deshaun Womack, who you have to get on the field this year. Mm-hmm. And then you can get to Gabe Relaford, who will be here or is here now and will be into the mix throughout the spring. Like, that DN spot, hand in the dirt, is one of their deepest on the team when you talk about just straight-up talent.
Yeah.
When you look at the interior, it's not the same. So I still wonder, how do they do – and there's the cheetah packages. You know, if you're on third down, yeah, you can slide third and long or something. You can slide guys inside, but – are they going to be able to move forward with Guillory and Sean Washington and Jalen Lee? And they've moved Ahmad Burrow inside. You know, that's all you've got right now, kind of, in the spring. And yes, you've got a five-star in Dom McKinley coming in the summer. You'll see if some of these other guys can kind of step up. Demarion Johnson will be a freshman. But it seems to me that the hope here is that you're getting at least one starter out of the portal in the spring. I think that's like unavoidable at this point.
Yeah, that's... Again, just looking from – they were on the far side from us, but just looking at it, the numbers definitely didn't look like what you expect a defensive line room to look like. And again, that's without Johnson and McKinley and Jackson, who are haven't enrolled yet. But I would assume so, for sure. Anything else on the defense? Did Brian Kelly say anything else on the defense? I don't think so.
He said – and one thing that stood out, I thought, he said that he'd sat in on a lot of position meetings over the past – month plus, and he was like, man, they want to be aggressive. And he just said the experience that Corey Raymond, you know, Bo Davis, Kevin Peoples, these are guys who've been coaching 20, 30 years now. So they know the game. Then you toss in like young up and comers, not even like a Jake Olson, who's the youngest guy on staff at safety, but your D coordinator, Baker, like he's a young guy who is now cut his teeth at a number of schools, been a DC, proven it in the SEC at Missouri with two top 40 defenses in back-to-back years. And again, I've said it before and laughed about it. He's the type that wears cleats to practice. Like, he is all in. And Brian Kelly said that the players have kind of gravitated already towards this new staff of the energy's up, guys are paying attention, guys are buying in. And just from sitting in on meetings, Kelly was like, I feel like we're not going to skip a beat. It's not the right word because I don't even know if that applies. They were so terrible last year that you
there was no beat. There was no heartbeat last year.
There was no beat, yes. So there will be heartbeats this year, yes, maybe, instead of skipping beats. Yes, that Brian Kelly seems confident that the staff hires he made will be enough to bring along a defense that you can't just snap your fingers and you have all new players. You have some new players. You have players that can get better. I think that's what you're really banking on, is coaching up guys to put them in better spots, to put your defense in better spots, and hope guys improve over the course of a year, an off season.
Yeah. I will say, from what we saw in the 20 minutes we were there, Brian Kelly spent most of his time on the defensive end. Like, they had it at midfield, you know, offense on one side, defense on the other. Kelly was on the defensive side for the most of the time, from what I saw. So,
and yes, it's all new coaches, but I think it also backs up our thought of, that's what we saw at the end of last year. I think he's kind of like, hey, not that I'm not going to be in offensive meetings, because that's where he, you know, that's his side of the ball typically, but he let that go last year. And it's almost, I could see him being like, y'all have got this. Like, if y'all are clicking, I'm going to go over on the defense and make sure everything is going smoothly with this new staff there. So I would expect a lot of Brian Kelly on defense.
I guess the last thing is his quote on the punt returners, Xavion Thomas.
Let's preface this by saying they have not started any punts yet. So he's like, I've not actually seen him catch a punt.
Yeah, maybe he just needs to see Xavion return a punt and he'll change his mind. But essentially, what did he say? Essentially,
he said basically that I asked, look, Greg Clayton caught fair catches for 2 years and they just gave it back to the offense. And last year that wasn't an issue at all because the offense was just going to go down and score. So don't even risk anything. So I said, what does that extra 8, 10, 12 yards potentially in the return game mean this year? Like, how big of an addition was that? And first he said, look, let's not overlook Xavien as a receiver. And he said he had 500 something yards a year ago in a very bad state. He didn't say very bad state offense. Yeah. I will. They were the worst offense in the SEC. So to get 500 yards on that offense was impressive as a sophomore. And he said bringing in him and CJ Daniels to go with Lacy is a big boost for vets. And then they can bring along everybody else, and Chris Hilton and them are vets as well. But he felt, and he said, and he brought up SEC meetings, and he was like, this is what the whole conference head coaches are talking about, that they feel like with that, we already knew this about kickoffs. Like, if you can got a guy that can kick it out of the end zone, you don't really have a kick return game anymore. Punt return, Kelly said he feels like college is almost eliminating punt return, where guys are down there too fast. You go to the NFL model where you can't go until, you know, it's kicked, and then they at least have a shot at returning it. None of that's going to happen this year. But he almost said – he didn't say they were going to fair catch it again. And he also said he hasn't seen Xavien catch it yet. But I was a little surprised, and he kind of threw out that, well, the average is 8 yards. Well, that's the average among all teams. Xavien averaged 12, 11. They open with USC. Zachariah Branch averages 20-something yards a punt return. Like, punt return is still a massive thing in college football if you're really good at it. And now they have someone who's proven to be really good at it. So I'm going to guess that his tone changes on this, and that that actually will be a valuable piece to them.
Gregory Clayton returned 4 punts last year. All year for 50 yards. Xavien, I agree. I think we said this before, but like, the value of 10 yards, a field position, if you could guarantee me that 3 times a game, I'm getting 10 yards better field position, I just think that's a massive difference.
From 2 yards a game. I mean, 2 times a game.
Yeah, twice a game. Getting the ball from at the 35 instead of the 25. Like, the jump start that that gives your offense, to where you feel like, all right, we're not backs against the end zone. You know, those type of situations where we're just taking the touchback and whatnot. I think it's a substantial difference. I think, I'm pretty sure, I don't know this, but I'm like, analytically, I'm pretty sure if you start at a 35 compared to the 25, your success rate on that drive, I'm sure, goes way up. So I think the bigger concern, or maybe not concern, but the positive to negative, you know, obviously, like, if you muff the punt, if, you know, you go backwards somehow, or if you're just blown up, like,
that's why they got Xavien, right? He's done this 2 years in the SEC against the exact same teams they're going to be playing. Like,
exactly.
And he doesn't have fumbling issues. He doesn't have any issues. He's one of the best punt returners out there. So
exactly.
I think that it will be a big piece too. I think we'll look back next year and say, glad that they got that guy. And look, a return also, just what happens if he breaks one and it goes 30 yards, 25 yards, touchdown. I mean, Xavien's had a touchdown in each of his past 2 seasons, those swing games. So I am, I guess I'm just not on the same page as thinking that, yes, maybe for some teams, punts are just not something you're really finding much success with, punt returns, but there are a lot of teams who have really good ones who have a lot of success with it. And I think that with Xavien Thomas, they can fit into that group.
Yeah. I mean, again, Xavien last year, 14 returns for 163 yards. And, you know, even games.
Okay, that's like, more than 10 yards a return. And he scored.
Yeah, at 13 and a half, I believe it was. But yeah, even games at South Carolina, 3 return attempts for 19 yards. So, and one of them was for 15. So 2, 2, 15. Like, it's a difference. So
it's more than zero.
It's more than zero. It's more than zero. All right, that's all I had.
All right. Well, and we'll end with this. Kelly did say that the one thing he's noticed about this team is, of the time he's been here, it's the most player-led team, meaning that he said guys are calling each other out on not finishing drills, then working, you know, not just calling them out, but then saying, hey, look, this is how you do it. This is the technique, and they're doing some coaching. Yeah. And he said it goes down to everything from what he wanted to implement of, look, guys, clean up the locker room. When you leave the team room, pick up your stuff, all that. He was like, none of that happens anymore. Like, everything's clean. Everything's handled. Like, they bought into my basic stuff, and now it's second nature. So now they're onto the stuff of, well, how can I help my teammates out? How can I make us better at practice? How can I do this? And he said the accountability factor is very high. And we've heard it from Garrett Nussmeier this past week. 10 wins isn't good enough anymore. 10 wins was cool the first 2 years, but it didn't get him anywhere. It didn't even get him in a New Year's Six Bowl. Now you've got an expanded playoff. They want to, as Garrett Nussmeier put it, 10 wins is good. It's not great. Their goal is great. And Brian Kelly said he can sense it from the players without the coaches having to drill that into them that, hey, look, y'all help lead this team. And as Kelly noted, he said, whether it was Notre Dame or any stop he's ever had, a lot of his best and most successful teams in the spring were player-led teams. And he said, for the first time, I have that here.
Yeah. This is, I wrote about that as well when I wrote about what I'm looking for in spring camp, just like in general. And it was depth of not only talent, but of understanding, of alignment, of like players on the same page in terms of getting there. He always talked about the jump from year one to year two and how like huge that was. I think the jump from year two to year three will also be substantial in terms of getting everybody on the same page. And these are players that now you've recruited, right? This is the third, you have three recruiting classes in. I'll be the first one was thin. So I just think there's going to be an overall better understanding. You're not going to get players that transfer in and maybe think they're just going to jump in and start immediately and then don't start and things happen and you go from there. Like, I think the overall cohesion of this team is something I feel a lot better about. So there you go. Spring ball, spring practice number two is down. First spring podcast is down as well. So hope y'all enjoyed it. Check, like Shay said, check out the Bengal Tiger on Three. If you haven't already, become a subscriber, $1 for the first month. You can subscribe for the year. Get all of our inside access, recruiting, the best in Baton Rouge, the best in Louisiana, and obviously a message board that is always entertaining.
It's always popping, and now it's about to really be popping with spring ball. But yes, check back to the Bengal Tiger this weekend, and then Billy and I will be on a podcast to recap it next week. But they have so many five stars coming in, well over 34 stars with offers, all coming to watch practice Friday, junior day Saturday. So don't be shocked if we hear about some commits, some new offers, them trending for guys. This will be one of the bigger weekends of the spring when it comes to recruiting. So buckle up.
Yep. Buckle up and stay tuned. We'll be back, like Shay said, with recruiting podcasts, and then we'll stay tuned for more spring ball access once spring break is over. So for Shay Dixon, I'm Matthew Bruni. We will talk to y'all later.